comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, folks, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the first time. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And I think you're going to be glad as well. This is Open Line Live tonight. That means that we'll talk about what is on your mind within the boundaries of our genre, of course. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. And everything we will talk about here tonight matters. One thing that matters is the K-Files e-zine. It didn't go out last week. I explained why, and I explained that it all started Sunday a week ago with a crash of a hard drive. You're not going to believe what has happened. And I'll tell you tonight what's happened. But anyway, the K-Files e-zine will go out this week. It's our free weekly newsletter. If you're not subscribed, get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the button that says K-Files e-zine and subscribe. It's the best way I know of to stay informed about what's happening with the show and what's happening with our genre, the strange and unexplained. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Saturday evening, this coming Saturday evening, will be the first Saturday in October. And that means that I will be in the chat room. I always look forward to that. And I hope those of you who are members will be in the chat room with us. We get together and just sort of chit-chat around and have a good time and just hang out for a couple of hours. I show up in the chat room at showtime. So whatever time it is right now in your time zone is the time to go to the chat room. Now, if you're not a member, you can't get to the chat room. So you need to join. It's a whopping 23 cents a day. Imagine, 23 cents a day. And you can do that on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis or annual basis. And if you do it quarterly, it's a little cheaper. If you do it annually, it's quite a bit cheaper. Work it out per day, it's a lot cheaper. So Saturday evening, I'll be in the chat room. Now, one of the things, everything that would have been done on a particular schedule, as we do each week, last week got bumped, and there was a ripple effect because of the computer crash. And so the K-Pods in our members area, that's our archives, did not get updated. They will be updated tonight. And as I said, you cannot believe what has happened. It is an absolute miracle that the show is on the air right now. I'll tell you about it. We have a break coming up, but I'll tell you about it when we get back. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And like I said, it's an absolute miracle. The universe conspired to make it happen, or we would not be here tonight. So we thank all of the good forces in the universe and the good thoughts in the universe and those who think them. Otherwise, we would not be here. All right, we're going to step away for a couple of minutes for a break. We'll be back with Open Line Live right after this. welcome back to Open Line Live here at the Kevin Smith Show. Got an email, and I am going to tell you what happened, but this email is from one of our very long-time listeners who's been suffering with some ill health. And this listener's name is Jeff. It's not Jeff Harvey, not the one that you've heard on the show. But Jeff has been listening to the show since we started way back in Kosovo, back in 2000. And he said that it would brighten his day and make him feel much better if he could hear me do just the opening as we used to do it back in Kosovo. I don't remember it, Jeff. I don't remember it all. But I think it went something like this. From sea to shining sea, all around the world, throughout the universe, and extending to the extra stellar regions beyond, this is the Kevin Smith Show. Something like that. Jeff, that's the best shot I can give it. Let's see. No, that's not. I remembered it. From sea to shining sea, all around the globe, throughout the galaxy, and extending to the interstellar regions beyond. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. So there you go, Jeff. Hope you feel better, buddy, and all the best to you and your family. All right, I got to tell you what happened. You know, Sunday a week ago, the computer crashed, right? You remember that? The computer crashed. The hard drive just gave up the ghost and died. And so I spent all Sunday and Monday doing two things. I had a spare hard drive that I had harvested out of an old computer that gave up the ghost a long time ago. But the hard drive was still working, so I kept that. And it was a good thing I did. I threw it into this computer, installed it in this computer. And then, of course, I had to install the Windows system, and then I had to install all the various software that we use to do the show. And it's not just what we use while we're on the air. There's a lot of software that we use to produce the graphics and so forth that you see, and to produce the audio that you hear. So, okay, I got all that finally installed, had to reinstall the drivers. We didn't lose any data because I don't keep data on the main hard drive. And so we were in good shape, and we were doing the show. Everything was fine. After the show last night, well, during the show last night, I kept hearing a little strange clicking sound, and it was coming from the computer. I knew it was the hard drive, and sure enough, right after the show last night, it died. The spare died. So I had to do what I didn't want to do, and that was go spend a little money. It wasn't that much, but I went and got a new hard drive and spent all afternoon from about lunchtime, all afternoon. I installed that hard drive. You know, you can install the hard drive. It takes, what, 5 minutes? It's nothing to install it. But then there's installing Windows and then installing all of the programs that we have to have in order to get to Showtime. And the drivers. And I finally got that finished at 20 minutes before Showtime. I couldn't believe it. I really believe that my electronics in the studio must be somewhat demon-possessed. I have never seen anything quite like what we experience here. But anyway, here we are. Got a brand new hard drive, and everything appears to be working. All right, this is Open Line Live tonight. I brought a couple of things to the table that I thought were pretty curious, pretty interesting. And then we'll open up the telephone lines and see what you've got to say and what's on your mind. All, as I said for Jeff, from sea to shining sea, all around the globe, throughout the galaxy, and extending to the interstellar regions beyond, we want to hear from you. No matter what country you're in, we want to be able to hear from you, all right? And we'll put the telephone numbers up on the screen in just a moment, and we'll see what you've got on your mind, all right? We already have a call coming in. And, you know, I would just make this caller hold while I deal with these things. We can deal with these things later. So let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right. I think I know what the problem is. I am not sure that I know what the problem is, but we will see if we can fix the problem. Let's turn that piece of equipment off and then back on. Caller, if you will, call back in. We just had to reboot a little piece of equipment there. But, you know, we've got a lot of folks that have been listening to the show for a long, long time. There are folks that have been listening to this show since it was being done with a laptop computer and about a $20 headset. Well, you know, there are some that have been listening to this show since we were doing it with a laptop and didn't even have a microphone. I was using little micro cassette recorder that had a built-in microphone. I was using that microphone and running a cord from the recorder over to the computer. And that's how I started. That's all I had. So that's how I started. And some folks have been listening to us since those days. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Tony from North Carolina.
Hey, first Tony.
First-time caller.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller.
You're a first-time caller. All right, we got to give you some applause here. What's on your mind, Tony?
Well, listen, I just wanted to tell you I love your show.
But, thank you.
There's been a video going out that I saw about a UFO that went in the water in Spain. I don't know if you've seen that video. It's been on several websites that I saw. And supposedly two military jets buzzed it during this time. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't. This is the first time I've heard about it. So it went into the water?
Yeah, supposedly it was filmed from a fisherman's ship and off the coast of Spain, and it actually showed the UFO, and all of a sudden two jets come down and buzzed it, and it dropped straight into the sea. And you know, it was on several websites that I've been on, like Disclosed TV. I don't know if you've seen that, but it was on that site.
I'll have to check that out. Do you have a link to it that you could send me, just the link?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Just use my contact page, and this is a good time for me to say this for everyone. I know it's frustrating for everyone to have to use the contact page. You would rather just, you know, use your regular email software. But the problem is, I get 400 to 500 emails per hour, 24 hours a day, and it's mostly spam. And so I've got spam filters that are very vigorous to weed all that out. But I constructed our contact page so that it gets through the spam filters. So that's really the only way to make sure you get to me, is to use the contact page. If you don't use the contact page, you've got really less than a 50% chance of your email getting through the filters. But with the contact page, it will get to me. So if you'll use that and send me the link, man, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, Kevin. Hey, listen, I really enjoy your show, and I will send you the link.
Okay. So thank you much.
Keep doing good. I love you, man.
All right. Tony, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Wow, now that's pretty interesting. A UFO diving into the water with jets on its tail. That's pretty interesting. I'll have to see that. All right, I'll put the telephone numbers up on the screen in just a moment, and I'll announce them for our audience all over the world. But I want to bring something up here and see what you think about this. You know, I've been talking about now for several years, last couple of years, I've been talking about this new race to the moon. And I've been saying, you know, what's the deal with that? I mean, why does everyone that can build a rocket and light a fire in its tail is going to the moon? India, Japan, China, European Space Agency, and they're all going to the moon. NASA, of course, is kind of, you know, they walked away from the moon after the Apollo program. There hasn't been much moon activity from NASA since then. But what's the deal? And, you know, I've asked the question, is it because they want to be the first to get there? Too late. They can't be the first. Is it because they want to be the first to put a man on the moon? Too late for that. So what's the deal? Well, not only is there a rush to get to the moon, there seems to be quite a rush to do the work they have to do once they get there. China has a satellite up mapping the moon. It has completed its 3D map of the entire lunar surface. Now, China put its first man into space in 2003. Only two other nations have put a human in space, and that would be the United States of America and Russia. And now China. And it's had this satellite going around the moon, mapping the lunar surface, not just taking pictures, but doing 3D maps of the lunar surface. And according to Liu, who is the head of their space agency, he says that China's map of the moon is the world's highest resolution lunar chart. And he said, you know, the United States sent a probe in the 1990s to do maps of the moon, but this is what China says. The accuracy of their map, meaning NASA's map, was just not good. And so they sent a satellite up and mapped the moon. And they got the entire lunar surface mapped in 3D. Now, turn the page. Backward. We sent a satellite over to Mars. It was called the Mars Global Surveyor. And it was photographing the surface of Mars for 10 years and never, after 10 years, got the entire surface of Mars photographed. China sends a satellite over to the moon and gets the entire moon done in a couple of years in high resolution 3D. Don't you find there is something a little strange about the urgency with which China got the moon mapped? Don't you think that's just a little odd? I mean, NASA's over there around Mars for 10 years and never got the whole planet photographed. In 10 years, China sends a probe to the moon and in a couple of years has the whole lunar surface in high resolution 3D. Something about the moon is more than magnetic in its appeal to these nations. What is it? I just find that just, I don't know, it's compelling, it's odd. And then you have the Indian satellite that just vanished from radar, according to first reports. They've since released different reports, but first reports said it vanished off the radar screen. Well, that's what happened to the Mars Global Surveyor, too. It just vanished. It didn't get blown up. If it did, there would have been debris. But there was no debris. It just vanished. Anyway, I found that to be very, very interesting about China going to the moon. They plan to send a second lunar probe October of 2010. So essentially just a little bit more than a year from now, they'll be sending another probe, and it will generate a map of even higher resolution. If China can get these high-resolution 3D maps, why couldn't NASA? Now, there are some of you who have sent me emails. I've asked this question before. I've asked it about the European Space Agency. And the question that I asked was, I said, take a look at the pictures being taken by the European Space Agency. And then look at the ones being taken by NASA of Mars. Just compare the quality of the photographs. And I said, what's the deal? How do they get such clear photographs that it looks like you're standing right there on Mars, and NASA can't seem to get those? What's the deal with that? Well, some of you have sent me emails reference to that, where you expressed that you thought perhaps NASA actually does have those real high-resolution photographs. They're just not letting us see them. Well, I don't know. I really don't know about that. But apparently, China has, they sent this satellite up and did this 3D mapping of the entire lunar surface. It's high resolution. It's the highest resolution photos ever taken of the lunar surface. And they've got the entire lunar surface in 3D. They got it done in just a couple of years. And we couldn't get Mars done in 10 years. It's still not done. They had some real urgency behind them. And the question is why? Well, one of the things I'm getting, I've heard it from some of the guests and I've heard it from some of you, maybe the interest in getting to the moon and the big space race to the moon is all about getting there to ask the aliens who are there for permission to mine the moon. Maybe, I don't know. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight. That means we will take your calls and talk about what is on your mind relative to UFOs, ghosts, EVPs, remote viewing, any paranormal things, anything strange and unexplained, futuristic science and space exploration. We'll talk about it. So you just give me a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you need to call me toll-free, you may do so. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. And you do that by just going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. You can send me a flash message, I'll read it, and we'll discuss your comments or questions. The phone lines are open, and we will take your calls when you're ready. All right. Now, the moon is a very active place these days. As you know, NASA does have a satellite in orbit around the moon. On October the 9th, that satellite is going to, it's going to drop a big chunk, a projectile. It's not explosive, and it's going to drop it into a crater. Now, that crater is called Cabeus A. I think that's how you say it. C-A-B-E-U-S. Cabeus A. I think that is the name. I think that's the pronunciation. That is the name of it. And they're going to send this projectile into there and have it impact. And then a shepherding craft will fly through the ejecta as it comes up and do tests to see what's in the ejecta. They ostensibly are looking for water ice. They think there may be some there. So that's going to happen on October the 9th. And if you happen to be an amateur astronomer and you want to be watching, I don't know if you can see it with a telescope, actually, from Earth, but I would think you might be able to. It will happen at 11:30 a.m. Universal Time. So make the adjustment for your time zone. And if you happen to be in a part of the world where at that time it's dark, you might get, you know, break out your backyard satellite and see if you can see the impact. See if you can see it happen. I doubt you'll be able to, truthfully. I don't think you'll be able to see that. But you might. I was talking about the pictures that other space agencies get as compared to the photographs that NASA seems to get. And, you know, the NASA performance with photography is really pretty disappointing. Now, the European Space Agency, last week I put a photograph up from NASA of the south polar region of the moon. And it's one of those blurry black and white photographs, you know. And it showed where this crater was located. Well, the European Space Agency has a photograph. And quite clear, as a matter of fact. Imagine that. Now, that's where it's going to happen, folks. In that crater, that's what they're aiming for. They're aiming to hit right in the center of that crater. And they want to see about the ejecta, what comes out of it. Now, if you look at this, I don't want to be one of those folks, even though we all get accused of it, I don't want to be one of those folks that just sees something in everything. But if you look at this, look at the right side of that crater and the sort of horseshoe-shaped structure, and then just to the left of that horseshoe-shaped structure, doesn't that look like some sort of perhaps a building? 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Those are the numbers to call if you're in the United States or Canada. And we'll be more than happy to respond to your email. Okay. Let's see what else is happening. You're very familiar, I'm sure, with the tsunami that took place as a result of the earthquake that took place in the Pacific. This earthquake was centered about 125 miles away from American Samoa. Now, you may know there is Samoa, and then there is American Samoa. But it's about 125 miles offshore from American Samoa. It was a magnitude 8 to 8.3. somewhere in that range. Big earthquake, 8 to 8.3, is nothing to play with. It's a big earthquake. It struck just below the ocean floor, which means that there was very little loss of energy as it generated that tsunami. So most of the energy of the earthquake was translated or transmitted into the water, causing the tsunami. Now, we've heard that this tsunami, there were several waves, tsunami waves, that struck American Samoa. But we've heard of waves up to 20 feet high. And they were coming in, if you can imagine this, at 530 miles per hour. Imagine that. The speed of a 747. 530 miles per hour. A wall of water 20 feet high coming in at 530 miles per hour. So they estimate that at the maximum, the islands had 25 minutes warning time. If the warning had gone out immediately, they had 25 minutes maximum to get to safety. Maybe as little as 13 minutes between the ground shaking and the first tsunami waves hitting the island. But guess what? There is an international computerized system designed for relief agencies to figure out if they need to respond. And it had a computer failure that caused it to completely dismiss the tsunami that was coming in. It said it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Computers are wonderful when they work. But, you know, it's a machine. As I have personally experienced now for the past week, with having to replace a hard drive two times and reinstall software two times in order to continue broadcasting. When they work, they're just wonderful. When they don't work, they can really make your life a living hell. And in some cases, they can cost you your life. And in this case, apparently, I would say it probably cost a lot of people their lives in the Samoan Islands. And, you know, there's reports are coming out that, you know, I've seen that, you know, the numbers are climbing on how many people are dead and missing. Now, it's not as big as the one that hit Indonesia back a few years ago. That one claimed some 230,000 lives. This one was not as big, and it struck a place that didn't have as many people. That whole basin up through Indonesia and up into the shores of Thailand, Vietnam, and all around that basin is heavily populated. It is really populated. Especially Indonesia is just really populated. And as that earthquake happened, and that one was about 10 times stronger than this one, as that earthquake happened and sent that wall of water rushing in, that wall of water was taking aim at many, many times more population than this one. This one just didn't have as big a target. But nevertheless, life is life. And whether it's 1,000, 100,000, or a million, every life is important. And loss of any life is tragic. Now, the point that I want to make with this is that we live in an age where people rely on computers so much. I do, you know, I rely on computers in order to be able to do the show, in order to communicate with guests, and line up guests for the show in order to do research so that I'm ready to do a show. I rely on computers. Now, if we have a failure in the system, whether it's my computers here, and let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computers that run this now. If there's a failure in computers here, that's tragic. But that's something I can work on and something I can perhaps fix and get it back up and running in time for the show, as happened today. Well, actually, it started last night and concluded today, 20 minutes before showtime. If it happens out in the cable system, because our broadband internet is with a cable provider. So if it happens out there, I have no control over that, and I have to just sit and wait until they get all of their stuff together and get it fixed. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm not able to do a show because their system is down. And it can happen beyond their system because there's so many networks interconnected to create what is referred to as the internet. And so there can be something that goes wrong somewhere else. It can be a satellite that goes down. I don't mean crash, but it quits working. It could be any of those things. And it puts a big bite out of our abilities. Not just at this show. I'm using the show as an example. But it takes a big bite out of your abilities as well. Consider how many of you are using a GPS system in your car. And you think it's just wonderful, and it is. And you're using that in order to be able to find your way around town and find your way around the country as you drive around. Well, what happens if the GPS system goes down? Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. A big solar flare could take out enough of the GPS system in space that the system goes down. Would you still know how to find your way around? I think some of you are chuckling now and saying, well, of course I would. You'd be surprised how many people would be completely lost. Lost because their gadget died. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Open Line Live. I have an email, actually it's a flash message that I got from Andrew in Australia. And Andrew says, hi Kevin, I've just read that NASA has changed the target crater from Cabeus A to Cabeus, as it has been decided it is likely to contain more water than Cabeus A. All right, that means that this photograph that I put up on the screen of Cabeus A, that's not where La Crosse is going. La Crosse is headed elsewhere. So we'll see if before October the 9th I can get a good picture of the new location. It's in the same region. It's in the same area, but it's on the south polar region of the moon. But we'll see if we can get a picture of Cabeus as opposed to Cabeus A. And it might be interesting to see what there is around that location. I was talking about, by the way, it is open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. I was talking about the way that we've become so dependent on computers. Now, imagine in this in this new future that so many people are envisioning, and look, it's not just a few, a handful of evil Illuminati at the top that are envisioning this new world order. There are a lot of people that have bought into, if they don't buy into the, quote, new world order, they've bought into pieces of it. One of the big pieces of that is the computer chips that they want to put in everyone. Now, they say that these computer chips will make life much simpler, less expensive, much more secure and safe for the citizens and the children. And they give you a lot of reasons for that. For instance, we all know about identity theft, right? Well, identity theft can cost you tons. But if you're required to have a chip, and you present, say that chip is in your wrist or in the back of your hand, and you pass that over a scanner at the grocery store, and it automatically works like a debit card, takes the money out of your account and pays for your groceries. No one would be able to steal your identity and use your money unless they had your hand. Okay, because you have to pass that chip over the scanner in order for it to work. Now, there are people who are already getting chipped. And I've read articles about people getting chipped, you know, and they have their house computerized, and they unlock their front door when they get home from work by passing their hand in front of a scanner. If you don't have their hand, you don't get in their house. They are able to pay their bills by passing their hand over a scanner at their computer, and so forth. There are a lot of people that are already chipped that already have this. And there's a big siren song being sung by the manufacturers of these RFID chips, trying to get us to the place where we will accept being chipped as a necessity for national security, being able to identify who you are and make sure that you really are who you say you are. What do you think's going to happen if that computer screws up? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey there. Sounds like you've had an interesting last week, haven't you?
It's been busy all night, every night.
I feel bad because, you know, here we're all sitting at home, and some of us drinking a soda pop, and you're always out there just getting beat up on the front lines for us.
Well, it goes with the territory. You know, here's one of the things, Bob. A lot of people don't understand. They think, well, you know, why do your computers have all these problems? Mine never does. Yeah, but most people's computers don't carry a load like mine carry 24/7. I mean, they're very busy doing, you know, heavy stuff like lots of video editing and running several programs to do streaming broadcasts, and you know, and they never get shut down. They're 24/7, and so, you know, a piece of equipment that's built to last 5 years. That's 5 years of normal use. That's about a year and a half of the way I use it.
Yeah, we sure seem to be squeaking by on the survival meter. I have a couple of great ideas. I wanted to get it to you, but I had it in the form of a text, and I think that the email system probably blocks it out that way. And when I was trying to use the suggestion, I know you've been really busy the last week, so I'm not really worried when I can get it to you. I'll send it every, you know, 2 days. But when I went to try to upload the text, I pushed the button, to the link, and I don't know. I can't tell because the text is so small if it actually went linked. But it seemed like when I was pressing the button, nothing would happen. So I'm interested to see if you're getting that text, and if not, how I can get it to you, because there's a number of great ideas on there.
All right, I'll check it out.
Another thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. it was about what you were talking about with technology. This was what I was really calling in for. I had a friend who did real estate things, and mm-hmm. he always had one of those Thomas guides, and he was really good with maps. And so no matter what, if anybody was having a problem that knew him, they knew they can call him up on the phone right away. He'd break out a map, tell you exactly where to go, where to turn right, and he was good. And I, you know, a couple of times I was in the car, and I, you know, had someone call him up and said, hey, you know, how do we get somewhere? Well, we were on a vacation not too long ago, and, you know, for a long time he hasn't been using those books, but he's been using the GPS. Specifically, I guess we were using one from his cell phone at the time. Well, everything started going haywire on it, then we ended up just going in circles out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got to get a map, and he's still playing around with that phone. And after an hour, I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I don't care about your phone. I'm getting a map. And we went into a gasoline station, we got a map, we came out there, and I said, now here's your map. Show us where to go. And he looked at me dumbfounded. And he said, well, and I'm looking at the map, and 5 minutes later, I said, give me the map. I'll figure out where we are. And I started using my brain a little bit, and I'm looking at the signs outside. You never really look at them because you figure you know where you're going usually when you're driving around locally. And, you know, I did some problem solving. I figured out where we were. I figured out where the major highways were. And I used that map. And I looked at him and I said, unbelievable. I didn't realize that you could downgrade intelligence by using technology. And I want to leave you with this. As far as that chip's concerned, I'm pretty sure Hitler would have liked to have one of those chips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure all those, you know, some of the big military dictators, that especially the communist ones, they'd love to have one of those chips. I mean, you know, why not? It'd be a great idea. I think Hitler would have loved it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. As a matter of fact, I think you're right. You know, he didn't have the chips available to him, but what he did have was tattoos. And he put tattooed serial numbers on people's arms. The chip thing is not in my future. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Vicki from Alabama.
Hi, Vicki.
From Alabama. I've called before. The chip thing, they'll give it to me kicking and screaming because I'm not volunteering for any of that. I listened to the playback this morning on the show that you had from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And there's a book out there that some people may be interested in reading. It's called The Power of 12. It's Achieving 12-Strand DNA Consciousness. It's by Ann Brewer. And mm-hmm. in this book, she channels the Anunnaki. There's messages from Anu in here. And she talks about how the 12 strand, or the two strands that we have, is held together magnetically.
Can you hang on through the break? I want to talk with you about this.
Sure.
Yeah, just hang on. You won't hear anything, but you're on hold. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. It is Open Line Live tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you happen to live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you don't want to make that international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down. You'll see the link. All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, tell me again your first name.
This is Sky from Alabama.
Sky. Okay. Now, Sky, we're talking about these 12 strands of DNA. See, I've heard about this before. Tell me what she says about, you're talking about a book written by, I think you said, Ann Brewer?
Her name is Ann Brewer.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this book through a friend, and I ordered it off Amazon, and I literally have only read a couple of pages. I got it in the mail today.
Oh, okay.
And what I've read so far is, I mean, I can't wait to sit down and finish the book. she's already talking, like, her channeled messages from Anu and the Anunnaki. She says a lot of the things that you hear Zachariah Sitchin talk about in his books.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Achieving, it's the Power of 12, Achieving 12-Strand DNA Consciousness by Ann Brewer. And she talks on one of these messages that, you know, the two strands are held together magnetically, and that by power of meditation and some of the things, you know, you were talking about on the show last night, will activate the process of the 12 strands, I guess, coming into play during the planet lineup or however it happens. But it's really interesting. And I wanted to throw it out there in case some of your listeners wanted to get a copy, and you can get it on Amazon.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
Okay.
This is purely speculation on your part, and we understand that. But let's say you light up a couple of extra strands of DNA, or even all 12. What do you think would be the result? What would happen? What happens when say, even one extra strand of DNA comes into play? What do you think happens to you?
You know, I'm not really, I don't know. I just know the few pages that I have read in this book. She talks about it's impossible to change it physically if you only have the two. But you go through changes that allows mentally, spiritually, changes that will happen within your body.
Mm-hmm. See, I wonder if it will change what we look like physically. I would think that it would, but maybe not. Maybe the other strands, you know, they say we use like 10% of our mind, right?
Right. Well, she's talking about you using, you know, having better clairaudience and clairsentient, being able to be clairvoyant.
Maybe the other strands, because let me tell you why I'm going to say this, and then I'll say it. Only 10% of the two strands that we have actually do things that produce us physically. Okay, 90% of it has nothing to do with the hormones and enzymes and cell building and proteins and all of that. Only 10% of the two strands that we know we have, only 10% of that is what builds us physically. And I've heard it explained this way. We use only about 10% of our brain. And I've heard people say that it's like there's a firewall that's been put in that prevents us from using all of the capacity of our brain. Maybe if the other strands of DNA are turned on, that's the firewall. Maybe that's what enables us then to use everything that the two strands already built.
Right. Well, maybe if we could use the rest of it, we wouldn't want to stay in this body.
Well, that might be the case. I have to admit, though, while I'm not afraid at all to die, I am not volunteering to go on the next load.
I'm with you.
I plan to stick around in the form I'm in for as long as it'll work.
I agree.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, think about that, because you've heard people say we all have psychic abilities, but some people can use them better than other people can. Maybe in that other DNA, maybe that's where the code is that turns on those abilities. Might be.
Maybe so. And you know, that for some reason that reminds me of a show that's in, it was in your archives, and it was Agnew. Dr. Brooks Agnew was talking about, and I believe it was the cheetah, where part of it is like the cat from a certain vertebrae up, and then the other part is like a dog from one of the neck vertebrae down.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, you know, that had to, you know, that was splicing that had to be done. Well, there's no telling what, if indeed that, you know, we came from the Anunnaki and they put a firewall there, they've done it for a reason.
Do you know, and I cannot give you the source on this because it's been so long since I read it. I don't remember where I read it, but I'm an old guy and I forget stuff. But I read in a news report, an article that was having it, you know, it was reporting on genetics, on science, and some geneticists said that there's something like 4,000 DNA or 4,000 genetic mistakes in the human genome. 4,000.
Repeat that.
4,000 mistakes. 4,000 flaws in the human genome. So it would appear that there might have been some splicing and a lot of trial and error, and that didn't work very good. Let's try this over here. You know, 4,000 mistakes.
You know, that goes, you know, everybody says God's perfect. Well, that would kind of let you know that even God makes mistakes. I don't mean that bad way, but there's mistakes and errors. Well, yeah, and of course
I don't get off into theology because there's so many different views on that and people get all upset, but 4,000 genetic mistakes is a bunch. So if he's correct, that's a bunch of mistakes. Hey, listen, Sky, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Very interesting. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. It is Open Line Live, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Now, if you don't like what we've been talking about, you and only you have the power to change that. The power is in your index finger. You push the buttons on your telephone in this order. 623-444-5889. You do that, and it's like magic. It's like beam me up, Scotty. You get transported right here to the Kevin Smith Show studio. And then I take my index finger and I push a button, and we get to talk to each other. And we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Or the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Now, I wonder what happens if you get these chips, you get a chip put in you. I wonder what happens if you have one of those in you and the 12 strands of DNA start trying to activate. I wonder if it prevents them from activating. I wonder if it interferes in any way. I wonder if the 12 strands overpower the chip. Could be a very interesting scenario, could it not? Wow. Imagine having one of these RFID chips in you. You can be tracked everywhere you go. Every purchase you make, where you are 24 hours a day, can all be tracked. But as I said, what happens if that computer gets screwed up? Do you realize that once there is no such thing as cash, you're dependent entirely upon computers and upon the precision of the programming and the integrity of the computer operators? You are 100% at their mercy once there's no such thing as cash. Right now, if the banking system computers all went down, it would be a huge catastrophe. But if you still had a little bit of cash in your pocket, you could still go get a hamburger. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Here's a question for you.
All right.
Let's say you have a chip in your wrist.
Okay.
What happens if one of those solar flares comes along, it fries all the electronics that are not shielded by lead. That would hurt.
Well, I think it would hurt. But if that happened, everything would go down. Because, you know, the purpose of the chip is, there are many purposes, but one of the huge purposes behind the chip is to move to a cashless society so that you don't carry cash. There's not any cash. How are you going to rob a store that has no cash? You can't. You can go in and shoplift, but you can't rob them of their money if they don't have any. And, that'll be one of the things they market as, hey, look, this is one of the benefits. It will reduce crime. Well, it won't reduce crime. It'll simply make crime take new shapes. And, if you take away all the guns, so that there are no guns, and I mean really, even the criminals don't have any guns. If you could do that, do you think murder would stop?
No, you could kill somebody with a coat hanger if you had to.
Well, yeah. And, whether people believe the story in Genesis or don't believe it, you know the story about Adam and Eve, and they had two boys, Cain and Abel? Mm-hmm. Well, there were no guns, and Cain killed Abel. You know, so you simply, if you change the technology, you don't take away crime. You change the shape of the crime.
Here's a question for you.
All right.
What are the drug dealers going to do? No cashless society.
Well, you know, there will be ways that they will come up with to barter.
Yeah.
You know. You go buy a gold watch, and you give me the gold watch that's, you know, made of real gold, and I'll give you so much cocaine. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it will go. You know, you get rid of cash, you don't get rid of crime. That's a farce. If you get rid of liberty, you don't get rid of terrorism.
That's right.
And crime is... And it's going, you know, it's going to happen. And the thing, the idea that by changing the technology you get rid of the crime is simply not true.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right, have a good evening. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. All across the United States of America, all across Canada, and all around the world, people are listening to the show. And wherever you are, that telephone number will work, 623-444-5889. It works all over the world. If you wish to call me on that number from any place in the world, you can do it. However, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, what you can do in order to not have to pay for that international long distance, what you can do is go to my website at kevinsmithshow.com and you can scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message and you can send me a flash message from anywhere in the world. It won't cost you a penny. By the way, let me tell you, we are exploring once again. You know, we've done this. Those of you who have been with us for a long time here at the show, will remember the previous times when we have tried to use Skype. If we did this with just internet radio technology, as most internet radio shows are done, then Skype would not be a problem for us. The problem is we're using broadcast technology because we also have AM stations, FM stations, shortwave stations that are picking the show up and broadcasting it. And so it has to be up to their standards. And so all of the audio has to run through that equipment. Skype is not friendly to that equipment. And what it does is it, somebody calls in, if I answer the call on Skype, it takes over the audio instead of the mixer. And then you can hear them, but you can't hear me because I speak through the microphone. So it's been a real pain, but I think we have figured out a way that we may be able to use Skype. And then if we get that done, I first have to catch up on all the stuff that got bumped when we had the two computer crashes. But once I'm caught up on that, we'll take a look at trying Skype again. And when we do, then you'll be able to use Skype from anywhere in the world, and it won't cost you anything. You can call computer from your computer to our computer on Skype. And it doesn't matter if you're sitting in Ireland or England. Doesn't matter if you're in Australia or China or Vietnam, Thailand, South Africa, wherever you are, you would be able with Skype to give us a call. So we will try that again. Not this week, I can promise you. We've got lots and lots of stuff we have to catch up on as a result of those two computer crashes. Not the least of which is we have to catch up on the K-Pods. We've been bombed twice by the computer. And so we got to get the K-Pods caught up, and we'll do that tonight right after the show. All right, this thing with the chips is not a joke. It really, really is coming. They really, really, really do exist already. And it's just a matter of getting the popular mind conditioned to accept the technology as both necessary and beneficial. And it is neither necessary nor is it beneficial. If you think that by changing technology you stop crime, consider that where handguns have been outlawed, the murder rate went up. Now, that's statistically provable. Where handguns have been outlawed and taken up, collected, disposed of, the murder rates went up. In East London, the year they did it, it went up 120%. In Victoria County, in Australia, the year they did it, it went up 300%. In Mexico, the murder weapon of choice is a knife. More people have knives than they have guns. As I said, you had Cain and Abel, and I guess, you know, the murder weapon of choice there maybe was a rock. I don't know. But you don't get rid of crime by taking away technology. Crime existed before we had technology. And it will exist in the presence of any technology. You know, there was a time when you thought your email was private, but it's not anymore. There was a time when you thought your web browsing was private, but it's not anymore. You may think that by getting a chip, you protect your identity and you protect thereby your funds. Yeah, for 30 days, 90 days maybe. And then someone, a criminal, will figure out the way around it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir.
Oh, I tell you, this thing about the guns and things is almost like the same quandary of the chicken and the egg, isn't it?
How so?
Well, you know, if without a chicken, there'd be no egg. Without an egg, there'd be no chicken. So without crime, there'd be no need for guns. And without guns, there'd be no crime. How does that?
I don't think so. I
think so, huh?
I don't think so.
Guns. Today it's guns. 100 years ago or 200 years ago, it was swords and spears. And in the days of Jesus, it was rocks. So, I mean,
yeah, like crime, I said, crime just is.
Yes, exactly.
You know, crime...
Today's gun is yesterday's rock, so...
Well, the thing about you know, the weapons, weapons don't matter.
No.
How many people get killed every year, homicides now, murders, where someone uses their hands and strangles the person to death, chokes them to death? How many people? A bunch.
Yes.
In a case like that, there's no weapon involved except someone's hands.
Yeah, the human becomes the weapon.
Uh-huh. Well, the human always is the weapon.
Yes.
And
rock won't kill, you know, normally, unless you fall under a landslide or something. But it's the intent. Like you're saying, it's what's in people's hearts.
Yeah. And see, until you fix humans, fixing their trinkets won't stop what humans do. And, you know, taking guns away from people may make some segments of the population feel good. And those people who feel good about that feel good because they think they have done something that is positive for society and have made society safer. What they did is consigned, what they actually did is consigned a big segment of the population to be killed who would not have been killed. Can you hang on through the break?
Yes, I can.
I'll be back with you right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. All right, let's go back to the phone line. We have Mike with us. And Mike, we were talking about guns, and we were talking about that crime just is.
Yes.
A good example of that is this latest atrocity, one in a very long line of atrocities out of Chicago, where you had an honor student beaten to death with a board while someone stood there and videotaped it.
Sure.
No one tried to stop it.
No. No, that just seems that lust for blood is still in humanity after all the centuries since Rome. So, you know, I was reading an email just tonight about a case that really happened in England, I think, back in 1999, where these two people broke into this person's house, and he woke up and heard them moving around, and he happened to have a gun, a shotgun, and guns were outlawed, and you weren't supposed to have guns in England over there to protect yourself. And so when he opened the door, one of the guys turned was had something like a crowbar in his hand, was going to hit him, and he shot one and killed him, and the other one he wounded. And the police made him the villain because he had a gun.
Yeah.
The press played it up and made him the bad guy, and it made the robbers and all the poor innocent victims. And I think he got life sentence out of it.
Well, you know, I'm not a gun rights advocate, but I'm a Constitution advocate.
Exactly.
And the Constitution says that the government cannot infringe upon your rights as a citizen to keep and to bear arms. It doesn't say they can't abridge your rights. It says they can't infringe. And there's a big difference. If, let's say you own a piece of property, I own a piece of property next to it, and there is a fence line, a fence that goes between the property. So I decide to move the fence, and I move it 10 feet further over onto your property. Okay, I've abridged your property.
Exactly.
Now let's say I don't move it. I just decide I'm going to sit on it. So I'm sitting on it, and to the extent that my rump is over on your side of the fence, that is infringing. So basically the Constitution is saying to the government, don't even set your rump on the fence when it comes to the people's right to keep and bear arms. Now, some people are real extreme about this. And I've always said you don't need to be. All you have to do is take it to the Supreme Court. If you challenge it on its on the basis of its constitutionality, all gun control is illegal. It's exactly. It's all unconstitutional. Well, that's coming up before the Supreme Court now. They've decided to hear the case, and guess where the case is from? Chicago.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not a right-wing radical militia guy. You know, it's not that.
Neither am I.
I am a constitutionalist. And what I say is, you don't want people to have guns, then get the people of this country to change the Constitution. But we still have a Constitution, and it says the government cannot infringe upon that right. They can't even put their rump on the fence. They have to leave it alone.
But you know, they can if they're your next door neighbor like that, they can lean on the fence and then tell you why you shouldn't get upset if they do infringe upon your rights.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always going to be some cause of conflict. But as long as they stay on their side of the fence, that's not infringing.
That's true.
And you can lean on your side of the fence.
Right.
But you can't hang your rump over the other side.
Well, there was a time, I think, when people didn't need fences, but things change.
Well, I thank God that our founding fathers understood you needed a big, tall, very formidable fence around the government. And that was the Constitution.
Well, you know, and I'm all for that. I think that's great, and I think that the states should be the ones that have the rights to determine. But for some reason, it seems like the states have given away their property to the federal government.
Well, there are a number of states taking it back.
I know that, and I think it's about time.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
You take care, Kevin.
All right, Mike. Well, we got into guns, but, you know, the thing with chips, look, you got to understand, if you buy into and accept the New World Order technologies, it will control everything in your life. And then that Constitution's not going to matter a great deal. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you, Stefan?
Excellent, Kevin. I'm wondering about the role of prophecy in all this. Like, I mean, in regards to the chip, Mark of the Beast, 666, and that whole thing, I'm wondering, is the role of prophecy to avoid the prophecy from happening, or is it to go through it and push on through to the other side of it to make something better happen? I'm wondering about that. What do you think?
Well, it depends on which prophecies, you know, what's the source, and what the people who hold that to be a valid prophecy, what they say about its intent. People who are biblical, people who, you know, hold to Bible prophecy, I think what they would say is it's there simply so that you are not shocked by what's coming. You've been told it's coming. It is going to happen. And you may die, but you will live again. That's their point. Other groups would say, for instance, with the Quran, the Islamic people would say, I think, that their prophecies are so that you can identify the last mullah, and so that you know when the last mullah is here.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know the problem, Stefan, and I'll go back to the side of the fence that's the Christians and their Bible. The problem is that all theology, 100% of it, is man-made.
Yeah.
So you have those verses in the Bible that say what they say, but then people turn to theologians to tell them, okay, so what does that mean? And they buy into some theologian's ideas about what that means. Well, they're buying into some other man's theology, some other person's thoughts. And when you do that, what if he's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you wind up out there on a sinking island somewhere and saying, wait a minute, I was a believer. Yeah, but you didn't believe in the words that were written. You believed in the words that were written about the words.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get into that whole thing with theology. It is a rat's nest.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even if something within that is valid, I mean, how do you... And that brings me to the point that I asked your guest, I forget his name, but I asked him, I said, if there is a Messiah coming, how would we recognize it unless it's in retrospect? Because, I mean, even the Jews were waiting for their Messiah 2,000 years ago, and, I mean, if that was him, I mean, they killed him.
Well, and then it comes... The answer to that comes back... Yeah, that's an excellent question. The answer to that comes back to what I was saying about theology. There are branches of theology that believe that... Christian theology, that believe that Jesus is coming back physically and that he is going to wage war against the armies of the earth, a united earth, a united army, and he's going to defeat them. Well, if that scenario plays out, you're going to be able to tell who the winner is, you know. Whoever wins, you're going to know, hey, that guy won. And so, you know, I think on the Christian side of the fence, and on the more fundamental views, they would say, well, you'll know because it's whoever wins that war. That's the one.
Yeah, well, I guess like the war on terror, you know, in a war where you have no real set enemy, how do you tell when the war begins and when it ends? I mean, the war on terror can pretty much go on forever.
Well, yeah, and it will. But here's the deal with those Bible prophecies. It gives the names of the countries that will be involved in the conflict, and it even tells how many troops they have, and from what direction they will attack. So if we're sitting here and all that plays out like that, we'll have to say, you know what, I better go back and read this. This is, you know, this was today's news 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It's very, very specific. That's one of the things that has always interested me about the Bible, is how specific it is. And so it doesn't have much wiggle room.
Just to put on one quick note, I'm wondering if the so-called Mark of the Beast and everything else relating to all that, I'm wondering if it might even be the Internet.
Well, and again, it comes down to theology. Do you think, and I'm not asking you personally, this is rhetorically said, do you think that the Bible is being literally true? Okay, if you think that way, then it says that this mark is going to be, you have two locations that it will be implanted, either in the hand, the wrist, or in the forehead. And apparently you get a choice as to where you want yours. if that's the case, then it couldn't be the internet. It's an actual mark or object that goes on the hand or the forehead. Now, could it be, instead of a chip, could it be this new tattoo that they've got? They have a new type of ink they can tattoo you with, and it can even be invisible. And they tattoo you with it, and it's encoded with all the information that would be in an RFID chip.
But, I mean, all the information within that would have to be, you know, relayed to a database, and that would have to go online, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. There are people that say such a computer does exist. They call it the Beast.
Huh. Well, I think the best thing to do with all this, because, I mean, the more we're going on in time, the more scary, I mean, it's becoming. I mean.
Stefan, hang on for just a moment. I want to talk with you some more, but we have a break taking over. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Stefan on the line. Stefan, you still with me?
Sure am, Kevin.
All right. You know, one of the things, though, that I think would be important for people is this is just me now. This is just my opinion. But, you know, if you think of yourself as being what you can see and touch, then you got to be afraid. If you think of yourself as someone who inhabits this thing we see and touch, we call it a body, and you see yourself as it doesn't end when the body finishes, then, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. You just make your decisions about what you're going to do, and then do it. And then whatever happens, happens. And then, you know, you just go on. I've been told that that's not a reasonable and rational response, but I think it is, and it's my response. I know I'm not going to take a chip. If that means I go to prison, I go to prison. If that means they execute me, bye.
Boy, well, Kevin, I'm not sure. I think I'd actually put up a fight, but I understand where you're coming from, and I also have the point of view that I inhabit something called a body, but I don't know.
Well, I'm not volunteering. Look, I'm not suicidal. I'm certainly not volunteering to go in the next load. On the other hand, they say you got to take this chip or we're going to put you in the camp. Okay, where's the bus? I'll go to the camp. You get to the camp and they say, okay, well, you didn't take the chip, so we're going to put you in these execution gas chamber rail cars that we've had built. Okay.
Well, I think the international cry at that point would probably be something akin to Viva la Resistance.
Not at all.
You think people would go through with it?
Yes. There was no international outcry for the Holocaust until after the war was over.
Yeah. That is depressing for the youth. I thought young people would be more, you know, like I'm 41 right now, and I'm beginning to lose that fighting spirit. But I would think that young people would be able to resist or do something about it.
They're going to go along to get along.
Oh, that's scary.
Now, if the prophecies are true, the whole world will do this. There will be a one world government, and every nation will give its power to this government.
Oh, boy.
If the prophecies are true. But, you know, this is why I say get your surfboard. You know a tsunami's coming. Don't stand on the beach and shake your fist. Get your surfboard, move to higher ground, and if the water gets to you, go for the ride.
Yeah. I think that pretty much applies to everything. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right, folks. We still have time for one more call, if you wish to call. But, see, when we talk about these... we talk about these New World Order technologies. We are talking about things that are in our genre for this show. We're talking about futuristic science. Things can be done in science that really should not be done. There are scientific capabilities that really should not happen. And they should not happen not because of religious morality. That may be involved for some folks. They should not happen because they are anti-liberty, anti-freedom, and anti-human. And they just shouldn't happen. I use the example of the Holocaust. During the days of the Holocaust, there were tremendously horrendous experiments that were done by the Nazi doctors. Experiments done on human beings. In some cases, vivisection. Cutting them open while they're still alive and no anesthesia. Science learned a great deal about the human body as a result of those horrendous experiments. However, they should never have been done. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is David from Central Florida.
Hi, David.
I enjoy your show. Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Since you have moved to Justin TV, you have got it all under control. You ever made.
Well, thank you. If I can get my computers to stop fighting me, we're in good shape. Justin TV does a great job. They are good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I had a comment that I wanted to share with you. You know, I have for years been studying theologian over the Internet and using it to do research with, and something really seriously bothers me because in those documents, they give a precise description of what the mark of the beast is.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they tell you that it is the number of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, you will not be able to do business. You will not be able to go to school. You will not be able to do anything without it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, hasn't it dawned on anybody yet that this might be our Social Security number?
It very well could be based on the Social Security number, and probably is. But what is spoken of as being implanted in the hand or the forehead. So it is some kind of technological piece of something.
Isn't that what has already happened? I mean, you make it known when someone asks you for your Social Security card number. You either take it out and you have it in your hand, or you recite it from your mind. It is in your hand or in your mind already.
Well, you may be right about that. The way it appears to me is that it's a piece of technology implanted. I mean, that's the way the description appears to me, but you may be exactly right.
Well, I have an opinion that the way they're going with this New World Order, that they're going to combine all of the economies together. So there's a level playing field so that, everyone is on even ground. And I suspect that during this time, they may eventually make the Social Security program worldwide. And when this happens and every man has a number, I think you have something to worry about then.
Well, yeah, except I won't worry. I mean, when that happens, you know the game is on. But, my deal is very simple. I'm not cooperating with it, and I refuse to accept the mark. And if all of that happens like is prophesied, then that also means I'm going to be in those that get rounded up and probably executed.
I don't know that part.
Do what?
I don't think it's going to go that far. I think you've already accepted it. The Bible tells you point blank, without it, you will not be able to buy or sell or anything else. They go to school, and that is a perfect description of a Social Security number in the United States.
Well, except you can opt out of that and get a taxpayer ID number instead of a Social Security number. And so the deal, you know, I think it's describing something that is definite technology. Listen, we're out of time. The show is just about to end. I want to thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. Very interesting. All right, friends, it's time for me to say, as I always do at this time, that I'm very glad you were here this evening. It's been very interesting. I love open line shows because it's, for me, it's like getting to go to university again. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.